Okay, good morning, everybody. Pleasure to meet you. If you don't have sheets there on that chair by the door. Shiurim today are dedicated to the memory of Kalman Shlomo Ben Sholem Yosef Zal by the Bienenfeld family. And in the zchut, the merit of our Torah learning, there should be Aliyat Neshama. Okay, so I've chosen a few what I hope to be interesting topics for Yitro. The first two really dovetail each other, and they relate to a famous passage in our oral tradition. It's a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, where the pasuk says, "Vayis yatsu betachti sahar," that the Jewish people, of course, this parsha has the Ten Commandments in it, the Aseres Hadibros, the receiving of the Torah. So it says that the Jews encamped at the bottom of the mountain. So based on this, there's this passage in the Talmud, which is a very famous passage. The rabbis say that based on this, that Malamed Shekiva Aleim Har Kegigis, that the Rabbanu Shalom was Mechapa Kippa. He put the mountain on top of the Jewish people. The word kippa, in English, you say cap. It really comes from the Hebrew. There are many words. We've talked about this before. There are many words in English that come from Lashon Kodesh. Even though the dictionary will say Old Latin or Greek, but the origin of the words are Lashon Kodesh. The word kippa that we use for a yarmulke is the same word. So the Gemara says, Kippa Aleim Har Kegigis, that the Baruch Hashem forced us, put us in a situation of force majeure. So that's what these rabbis are going to talk about. The first and number one is the Maral. And they all ask the same question. Amru Naseh V'Nishma. The Jewish people said, Naseh V'Nishma, famous response of the Jewish people when we receive the Torah, we'll do it, and then we'll learn it. So there was a complete acceptance, you could say an acceptance of love. We'll accept it and we'll do it, without even understanding it. So once the Jewish people made such a commitment, Lama Hutzrach Lazeh, why do we need this forcing them to accept the Torah? God forced them, you know. He put the Torah, Kippa Aleim, Lama Shekippa Aleim Har Kegigis. That's what the full statement in the Talmud says. He covered us with the mountain and he said, here you will receive the Torah. If you accept it, well and good. If you don't accept it, this is where you're going to die. So what do we need that for? We accepted it already out of love. So Vatirtzu HaTosfos was one of the commentaries in the Talmud. That maybe the Jewish people, when they saw, you know, there was fire and brimstone, it was the greatest sound and light show that the world ever saw, Kabbalah Satorah, when the Torah was given. So maybe the Jews would be frightened, and they'd run away. So he covered the mountain to protect them, and they shouldn't, you know, to stop them from running. Well, the Maral doesn't like that. I don't like that explanation. Which really puts into question their whole excitement and enthusiastic response by saying Nasa v'nishma. What? The moment there's a little bit of a lightning storm, they're going to run away? That's, you know. So they'll just run away from their merit of accepting the Torah unconditionally. Shehu l'dorei doros, and that's going to be what we remember from generations. V'ulai, he wants to suggest, that Tosfos Sfira Lahu, the Kivan de Machmas Yira Chazula, maybe because of fear, a certain fear of sense of fear of God, they went back. Lo nechshav l'chazara l'ma eid zchutam, but not that they were going to give up the whole business. Aval ha'ikar apirushu nira pashu. But I say the explanation here is a different one, and it's a simple one, and let me share it with you, says the Maral. The Maral was a great thinker, great Bal Machshava. Ki Kippa Aleim Har Kegigis, when it says that he covered us like a kegigis, like a barrel, put the mountain over us like a gigis, like a barrel. Lomar, as if to say, im lo tekablu haTorah, sham tekvur aschem, if you don't accept the Torah, this is where you'll be buried. Lomar, what he's really saying is, ki haTorah hi hechrechit lekabalah. In other words, God's giving us a gift of the Torah. So, you know, maybe it's a nice thing, somebody gives you a gift, you know, so he gives you, I don't know what they'll give you a dish to use for your Shabbos table, for serving dish. So you've already got, you know, 30 serving dishes, so it's very nice, it was thoughtful of the person to give you the gift, but do I have to use it, am I going to use it? I will, maybe I'll put it away for Pesach, maybe I will use it, maybe I won't use it. That's not the gift of the Torah. The gift of the Torah is that if you can't live without this gift. Now, when we accepted the Torah and said Nasa v'nishma, we accepted it, but we were not aware of this facet of the Torah. And that's what this force acceptance is coming to teach us. And he goes on to explain. It's hechrechit. It's not optional. It's a must. V'im lo yikablu haTorah. And if we do not accept the Torah, sham tehek v'rascha. That's where you're going to be buried. That's the end. There'll be no purpose to living. Life cannot be lived without it. V'yadua, and it's well known. Ki dvarim ha-mukhrachim li-yot, hem chashuvim b'ma'aliyoter. Things that are mukhrach, things that we can't live without, are much more important. The air we breathe, right? I can do without maybe more expensive clothing, but I can't do without clothing. Expensive clothing, that's optional. But clothing, that's not optional. The air we breathe, that's not optional. I can't live without air. I can't live without the bare minimum of food. Feasting and having more than I really need to eat, I can live without it. But that's not the gift of Torah. The gift of Torah is the basic necessities of life, spiritually. She'ief shem yiladam. Ve'en kiyum l'nimtza bezulatam. Things that are hechrech, that are a must, life cannot be lived without them. L'kach, kipa aleim ha'har kigigis. Therefore, God purposefully entrapped us, if you will, under the mountain of Sinai, like in a barrel, lahodia milas haTorah, in order to let us know the sublime quality of Torah, she'ief shar bilada klal, that it's impossible to live life without it. Ve'im lo haya osazeh, and if God would not have done this, hayu omrim, people would have said, ki haTorah ein hechrechit le'olam. Torah is not necessary for the survival of the world. Rak birtzon kiblu aleihem. They accepted it. V'im lo kiblu, lo hayu tzrichim. Okay, if you want to keep it, keep it. You want to keep the Torah. You want to accept it, accept it. You don't want to accept it, accept it. Right? Lekach, therefore. Haya Hashem yitbarach, mifta umiratzeh otam kodem. Therefore, God forced us to accept the Torah. So we understood that you can't, he's telling us, no, you have to accept this Torah. You cannot, if you walk out of here without this Torah, you're not going to be living a life. So you'll ask me, there are people who live without Torah. What does that mean? We know that life without spirituality is not really living. You know? We say in Hallel, Lo amut ki echye. Lo amut ki echye. So you translate that, don't let me die. Ki, but let me live. Right? So there's another way of translating this pasuk. Actually, the first Hasidic sefer that was ever printed, the sefer Toldos, he translates, you know, ki can be translated in four different, the word ki has four different translations. So here, the standard translation, you see the pasuk, Lo amud ki echye. David HaMelech, King David, is praying to God, Lo amud ki echye, we say it in Hallel, don't let me die, but ki echye, but let me live. But ki also means that, you know, that, like that. Lo amud, or when, it could mean when, ka'asher, correct, ka'asher. So he says, beautiful interpretation, Lo amud ki echye. Don't let me die while I am alive. Dead man walking. Don't let me die while I am alive. Lo amut ki echye. And that's what the Maharal is saying, the gift of Torah is telling us. Once we saw that the essential giving of the Torah from Hashem to us was through this forced scenario, we had to conclude that the actual Torah itself was a necessary item. That the Jewish people cannot survive without it. Ulekachen, therefore, hevisham al hamaymer hazeh vayihi erev vayivoker. To drive this home, the rabbis in our oral tradition say something else. At the way back at the creation of the world, at the genesis of the world, this point was driven home to us. It says vayihi erev vayivoker yom hashishi, and there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. But what's unique about this pasuk? All the other days, vayihi erev vayivoker yom rishon. Yom Sheini, there's no hey, there's no definitive article, ha shishi, the sixth. So this is obviously hinting to something else. When he says this is the sixth day, but ha, hey yitera lovely, what's this extra definite article coming to teach? Milamei, the rabbis teach us, shihitna HaKadosh Baruch Hu imase bereshit, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a precondition in the genesis of the world, that if we do not accept the Torah, which was given on the sixth day of Sivan, right? That's what it's a hint to. Yachzor ha'olam letovavo. The world will return to chaos. V'zeh ha'maymer ba lefaresh lama kippah aleim har kegigit. And that's also the explanation of why the Torah was given in such a manner that he enveloped us in the mountain and forced the acceptance of the Torah, lomar to say, kinetinata Torah hibuchrechet. The acceptance of the Torah is not optional. You can't survive without it. Okay. Now, a similar, subtly different approach to this is in number two, and it's from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who we have seen in the past, and he takes it in a little bit of a different direction also. And with it, he sort of answers another question. Now, I don't have the full text here. I mistakenly left out some items, but I'll do it with you orally. So, the pasuk says, Ko amar, ko tamar lebet Yaakov, that you shall say over the Torah to Beit Yaakov. This is obviously the women, and that's the origin of the term Beit Yaakov, Beis Yaakov for girls' schools, for women's schools, seminaries. But here, Rashi comments that you should say it over to the Jewish people, the Torah. Give over the Torah. Moshe is commanded to give the Torah over the Jewish people. And Rashi says, Bil Loshon Hazeh, in the word, exactly the way I'm giving it to you, Ubeseder Hazeh, and in the order I give it to you. V'chein L'kaman, and a little later on, E'ila HaDvarim Asher T'daper El B'nei Yisrael, these are the words that you have to give over to the Jewish people. Rashi explains, Lo Pachot V'lo Yoter, not less, not more. Why was God so specific with Moshe that he shouldn't change anything, not dotting an I, not crossing a T, as we say in English? How everything had to be given with precision the way he received it. What's that all about? So in order to answer that, he goes back to this notion of Kafa Aleim Har Kegigis. Hinei Amru Chazal, and he repeats this, the rabbis have taught us, in Masechet Shabbos, Tractate Shabbos, V'yisyatzu B'takis Ha'ar, that we were encamped under the mountain, Malame Shekipa Aleim, or Kafa Aleim Har Kegigis, that he capsulized us as a barrel kind of a thing. V'ayim B'tosfus, and he again brings the comment of the Tosfos, Shehishu, they asked the question, Hakfar Hikdimu Nasa V'nishma. What's better than saying Nasa V'nishma? We'll do it and then we'll understand it. V'lamali l'kafom tahar alem. What do you have to force me? V'tirtzuzal, the Tosfos answer, Shemi yu chozrim kishiyuru ha'esh ha'gedola shiyatsa nishmosa. Maybe they'll run away, they'll be afraid, they'll be fearful from the fire, from the sound and light show. V'hanira b'bira dvarim al p'divra ha'tanam m'sechet avon. I want to take a different approach. I want to explain this based on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It's a little early for Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos we usually learn in the summertime, but he's going to bring his point home with Pirkei Avos. Al tiyu ka'avadim ha'mashamshim et harav al menat lekabel pras. The rabbis say that one should not serve the master like someone who's just waiting for the paycheck. You know, don't work for your boss only for the money. Viyu mora shamayim aleichem. And there should be fear of heaven. We're talking about it relating to God. Don't do mitzvahs because of the reward. And secondly, v'yeh morah shamayim aleichem. Be afraid of God. Be fearful of God. Have yirat shamayim. Have fear. U'biarti b'chidushi l'pirkei avot. I explained in my commentary on Pirkei Avos Sham, shebe'emet, tzrichim l'shnei anyanim. You need both of these qualities. When we say a servant is not working for his money, he's working out of love. It's a labor of love. I'm not working for you because, you know, I'm working because I respect you, I love you, I believe in what you're doing, right? That's a good boss creates that atmosphere. A bad boss, unfortunately, creates an atmosphere where you're only working to get that paycheck. You're working because you don't want to get fired. But Rabbeinu Shlom is all good, right? He's hakol kol yachol. And therefore, when I'm working for the Rebbeinu Shlom, I love him. That's the goal, to love God, the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, and to work for him, not because I'm getting the reward, but because I love him. So, Hainu Avodah Mi'av. And then when it says, Yira Shemayim, we should have Yira Shemayim, fear of God, that's Yira. We should have both. In our relationship with God, there has to be a balance of love and yet reverence, right? There's a certain intimate relationship I have with God, but because he's so good to me and represents such goodness, but also because he's such a great being, I'm in awe of him. I'm in fear of him. So there has to be that balance. And that's what this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is saying. Ki lefamim, sometimes, lo tasbik lo ha'av. Sometimes love is not enough. Ulefamim techalashetz lo ha'ir. And sometimes the fear is gets weakened. Therefore, afal pishe kfar kiblu al atzmat et haTorah mehavu. So even though we did accept the Torah out of love, we said nasa v'nishma. However, mikol makom, that being done, miyira lo nisu. We were not tested in fear. Va'al zeh ramza ha'esh hagdola, and that was the hint of that fire and light show at Har Sinai when the Torah was given. To put a sense of fear and awe in us. K'mo shekasav parshas v'eschanan, as it says in, he quotes a verse from Eschanan. Let's just skip down a few lines. Hari shebir ha-katuv da-ha-esh hayet al-yirat ha-onesh. The fire was to instill in us the understanding that there is fear of punishment. We do not want to be punished. We do want to be rewarded. V'ilmale bo la-esav y'ishmael. And if God would have come to Esav and Yishmael b'kfiyat ha-ar, Gam came, Hayu Mekablim et Torah, right? The evil nations of the world, they would also accept the Torah if it was forced on them, you know. Ukeda Amrina Perakam Davorazar, in our oral tradition, in fact, the Talmud says, Klum, Kipita Aleinu Har, Kigigit Velo Kiblanua. I mean, the nations of the world had a tie on their Rebbeinu Shlom, you know. What do you want from us? You didn't force us, you didn't put the mountain over us and encapsulate us in this mountain and force us to accept the Torah. So what do you want from us? Mashma, the implication is, me'az mevadai hayu mekabli mota. They would have accepted it if that would have been the case. Ella, but that's not sufficient. Sha'az hayita avoda me'yira avolo me'ava. Their acceptance would have been yira without ava. That's not what God's looking for. Mashayin ken Yisrael, which is not the case with the Jewish people. The me'ava kiblua me'atzma. First we accepted it out of love on our own. There was no encouragement. We accepted the Torah. Nasa v'nishma was totally a movement towards the Rebbeinu Shalom, a submission to the Rebbeinu Shalom, to Hashem v'torato, on our own, without anybody pushing us. That came first. Mashen kin Yisrael me'ava kiblu me'atzma. U'kifiyat ha'har hayet ha'rak l'kabala gam me'yira. After we accepted it from love, God felt it necessary that we also have to have a sense of yira. In a certain sense, this is not exactly what he's saying, but when I love someone, I want to do something for him. But, you know, sometimes he'll tell me to do something I don't like. Well, even though I love him, but it's hard. But no, that's where the yira impacts. The yira comes in. We have to have that yira also. So, aval im lo hayu mekabli mitzidam yav, if we would not have received it out of love, lo hayu notni lamed haTorah legamri. We would never have received the Torah. First, there has to be this submission to the Rebbeinu Shalom out of love, a love relationship. Then the yira is the second component that has to be added. Now, What's implicit in this is that even Moshe Rabbeinu had to have this yirid. Ahava would not be enough. And he goes on to explain, you don't have this in your sheet, and this is how he's going to answer this business with why did God tell him not to leave out a word and to give it over exactly the way I told you. So let me read from the portion I didn't put on the sheet. V'nira shemitam zeh, and I want to suggest that for this reason, Sider HaKadosh Baruch Hu et Dvarav shel Bnei Yisrael v'tzivuyu shelo yifchot v'lo yosif. That is why Moshe Rabbeinu was told not to add or diminish from the Torah. Kifshash, because here's the fear. Pen yashpia Moshe aleihem, perhaps Moshe will be so successful in his influence on the Jewish people. Sheyikablu et haTorah mitoch eizeh hitpa'alu. So they'll be in awe of this great moment of Kabbalah Satorah and Moshe Rabbeinu's great greatness, his piety, he was such a great person. Al yidei hashpahato shel Moshe Rabbeinu, v'lo mitoch hakara pnimi. But not necessarily because of an inner awareness, right? In fact, we spoke a few weeks ago about the fact that why Moshe Rabbeinu stuttered, why he had a speech impediment. And this is, in a sense, what one of the Rishonim, the Ran, says in his drushes, that he dafka was given this impediment so that future generations should not tie that, like grandchildren will come and say, yeah, you accepted the Torah because he was such a charismatic guy and he spoke so beautifully. His power, his koach adibur, his power of hamshacha, he convinced you. He convinced you. Remember, I gave the example. In the old westerns, you have that, the guy in the covered wagon comes with his magic potion, which is basically sugar water, and he does such a job, and everybody, all the cowboys are buying the, maybe I'm dating myself, some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but all the cowboys are buying, you remember, okay. Remsen Gold remembers, okay. And they buy this magic potion, and nothing happens from it, right? It's sugar water, okay? So maybe the grandchildren will say, you know, this is Torah, what's, and that, according to the Ran, that's why he stuttered. We gave a totally different approach to that, but we're not going into that here. So that's the concern. Gam nitnasa Moshe Rabbeinu al Hashem. Even Moshe was tested now with Yira. Ad kama magat ne'emunato sheyuchlo limsor haTorah al yidoy Yisrael. How faithful will Moshe Rabbeinu be in giving over the Torah to Klal Yisrael? Ki bevadai lefi hakarato shel Moshe Rabbeinu, based on the awareness of Moshe Rabbeinu, bevadai chafetz hayash Yisrael yikabel the Torah. Moshe wanted Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah. I mean, he really had with a passion. His job was to see that Klal Yisrael should accept the Torah. Ve'il male nemunato min haroi hayash yosif lehem dvarim yishol. And you know, sometimes, because his love of God and his love of Torah, so maybe Moshe will make an exception. He'll add something. You know, he'll see they're not getting it, so let me add something to the Torah. I'll add something that'll make it more meaningful. And that's part of the Torah, right? Aval ilu asakim, if he would do that, lo hayaroi shekinatena Torah al yadov. That, he blows it. He blows it. If he changes one thing in the Torah, that's not Torah Hashem anymore. Ki kamet drashot anu motziim yitur shel ot. How many drushes are there from one extra letter in the Torah? The rabbis will expound on one letter in the Torah. V'ilu haya Moshe mishane davar ma. If he would just change anything. Im ken ein hechrich shekach nemar v'zeu nisayon gadol. So this was a great nisayon for Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore he needed to be also, Moshe also needed to be entrapped under the Torah, to have that sense of Yira of Hashem, not to change the Torah. Remember we said, what's the pshat in the Gemara and the Rambam Paskins and the laws of Torah study? Who's a Rebbe? A Rebbe's an angel, right? The Gemara says, Im doma lecha, Rav, Im doma lecha, kemalach Hashem tzvakot, yivakshu Torah mipiv. V'im lav, al tivakshu Torah mipiv. If your Rebbe, if your Rabbi, if your teacher is like an angel to you, then learn Torah from him. If he's not an angel, don't learn Torah from him. What's going on? Does he have wings? What do you mean he's an angel? Right? Okay, everyone likes their rabbi. But an angel? What does that mean? So the pshat we said over then was that, what's pshat an angel? What's the difference between an angel and a human being? A human being has bechira. He has free choice. That's the essence of the persona of a human being. A malach is or the prophets say that Adam is mahalech, is a mahalech. Angel is omdim, is omed. An angel is totally subservient to the Rabbanu Shalom. He has no mind of his own. He doesn't put his own intellect or emotion into what he does on behalf of God. In other words, he is purely giving over what God gave him. That's what a Rebbe is. That's what a rabbi is supposed to be. That's what a Rav is. That's what a teacher is. He's a Baal HaMesorah. He's a transmitter of the tradition. He is faithfully giving over the Mesorah that he received from his teacher, who received from his teacher, and he gives it over to his students. That's an angel. That he's not reforming anything of the Torah that he received. That's the pshat. He's a malach. He's a malach in the sense that he is a faithful servant. He's giving over completely, unaltered, the Torah that he received from his Rebbe, and his Rebbe from his Rebbe, all the way back to this moment, in this week's Parsha, when Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe of all Klal Yisrael, received the Torah. That's the pshat that a Rebbe is a malach. And that was a test for Moshe Rabbeinu also. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu also had to have the kippah aleihem har kegiyos. And that explains why Rashi says that God told him, don't change it from the order I gave it to you. Don't change anything that I gave you. It has to be precisely, with precision, the Torah that I gave you. Okay, beautiful interpretation of kippah aleihem har kegiyos. Now, this is going to be a bit of a surprise for you. And number three, and this is the comment of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Or HaChaim lived a couple of hundred years ago and died a very young man. But he left a wealth of Torah, both in the revealed Torah, and he was also a great Kabbalist in Kabbalah, in the hidden Torah. So his commentary in the Chumash, you know, the last many years now, there have been a reprinting and a re-typesetting of the Mikros Gedolos, so you see the Mefortion. The old Mikros go so hard to read, the Or HaChaim and some of the other Mefortion, but today we have the advantage of seeing clearly the Or HaChaim, and also the Or HaChaim, I believe, has been translated into English. And it's worth your while, if the Hebrew is more difficult for you, you can get the Or HaChaim. But listen to an Or HaChaim, and it's going to dispel something that we think a lot about, and in fact books are written about it, you know, the Jewish genius, right? That we are smarter than everybody else, right? Well, I mean, we're in for a little bit of a surprise based on the Or HaChaim. He asks a very good question. Why is this Parsha named the Parsha where the Torah is given? Let's call it Parsha Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Why do we call it Parsha Yitro? What is Yisrael? Why is that the name of the Parsha? Okay, good question. So here he says, "Ra'isi l'aseis l'aseis." He says, "I find it necessary to draw attention to this fact. Eich zacha Yitro. On what merit did Yitro win the lottery? Shetikatev al yado parasha zu. That this parasha should carry his name." Vehein emet, he says, it's true. Ki hu kibei Moshe Evin Hashem. He gave great reverence and honor to Moshe. Vehine scharo shechibdo Hashem. He honored God. Ella, or rather, scharo shechibdo Hashem. That what he's saying is the reward that he got was that God honored Yitro, right? Yitro was given great honor, and he became his father-in-law. Ella. Haya Hashem yachol la'asot lo derech kavod acher, but God could have shown his reverence, the kaviyachol. God should have shown his rewarding nature to Yitro in a different manner, you know. Asot lo derech kavod acher lo bederech zeh sheyira chas v'shol kepachot yediya ba'am Yisam Hashem. Remember, Yitro came and he had suggestions for Moshe Rabbeinu. He saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was working too hard. He's going to be burned out, right? That you know, and he told him, listen, you have to appoint judges. You have to appoint leaders for thousands, for tens. Get people to help you, right? You can't do this on your own. You're going to get burned out, as we say today, right? In fact, one of the Rishonim says an amazing thing on Moshe Rabbeinu's thing that Mikotzer Ruach, V'yavod Kasha, that Lo Shamo B'nei Yisrael, Mikotzer Ruach, U'myavod Kasha, that the Jewish people didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu because of shortness of spirit and the hard work. So how do we understand that? The Jews were under pressure, right? The nation were under pressure. And because they were under such pressure, you know, they didn't want to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. So one of the early rabbis says, no, let's talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo shamu b'nei Yisrael mikotzer ruach u'mi'avodah kasha of Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe was burnt out. He was exhausted. And he wasn't giving it over as strongly. One of the Rishonim didn't say this. We couldn't say such a thing. But one of the Rishonim says, the early rabbi. So Yisrael comes along and with brilliance. He gives Moshe brilliant advice. This former priest of Midian, this former worshiper of idols, of Avodah Zarah, right? This is the way you honor Yisrael, to make us look like dummies in the face of Yisrael? That's his kasha. Ela haya Hashem yachol lasot derech kavod acher. Lo b'derech zeh sheyireh chas v'shalom b'pachot kepachot yidiyat am Hashem. Ad shebo koed Midian v'hiskilam. All of a sudden, this priest from Midian, this former idol worshiper, he shows up in town and he teaches Moshe Rabbeinu how to rule Klal Yisrael. What's going on here? So listen to what he says. Listen well, because it's news. V'nira, it appears there's no way out. Ki tama davar hu, the reason God does this. Laharot Hashem et Bnei Yisrael, God wants to show Bnei Yisrael, Hador Ahu, this generation, v'chol dor v'ador, and every future generation, ki yesh be'umot gedolim behavana u'behaskala, that there are amongst the nations of the world geniuses in depth and understanding. You know? Not like, you know, Jewish humor wants to say, right? Let's just read his words. Vitsei umad, come and learn. Mehaskalat yitro ba'atzmo, from the brilliance, the genius of the creativity of Yisro himself. But often seder b'nei Adam, asher bachar, ki yesh b'umot makirim dvarim hamusharim. There are amongst the nations people who chap, as we say in Yiddish. There are people amongst the goyim who understand, who have depth. Litzad sheyesh lem haskala v'hakara yoter mikol umot, and they're smarter than anybody in the entire world. There are such people, Jesus. V'zeh lecha ha'ot haskalat Yitro, and this is the sign of Yisro's genius. Ha'lamadata comes to teach us. Ki lo mirov Chachmat Yisrael, lo mirov Chachmat Yisrael v'haskalatam b'char Hashem ben. So this comes as a chiddush to us. God didn't choose us because we were geniuses. He didn't choose Am Yisrael because of the Jewish genius, right? Because there were smarter people than the Jews. Yitro was smarter than anybody in Am Yisrael. He came and taught Moshe Rabbeinu something, right? I remember when I went to my son's graduation from law school. So I went to his graduation, and he did pretty good. You know, he was summa cum laude, and he got awards and law review and all this. But there was one guy who was top of the class, of 380 people in the class. And he kept getting on my phone, and my son said to me afterwards, of course my question to my son was, is he Jewish? You know? So he said, Daddy, not Jewish, he said, but this kid, he says he's off the charts. If he would be a Yid, he could become the Gadol HaDor. He's so bright, so intuitive. He says, you can't come close to him. You just can't come close to him. So that's what the Or HaChaim is saying. That's why this parsha is called Yisrael. It's named after me. and to prove to us that there is genius outside of Jewish genius. You know? So he goes on. Ha'lamadata ki lo mirov chochmas Yisrael v'haskalatam ba'orim. He didn't choose it because we're so smart. El l'chesed elyon v'la'avat avot. he out of the grace of God, you know, there, but for the grace of God, you know, and his love for the Avos. He loved our Avotenu and Imaot. Because of his love for them, he gave us the Torah. V'yoter yarev l'chich. Let me sweeten your palate a little more. Let me give you a little more information. Tam zeh. This reason is Laman da'amar Yitro kodim matan Torah bo. You know, there's a whole machlokes, a different opinion. When did Yitro come? Did he come before the Torah was given? Did he come after the Torah was given? So he says, even according to the opinion that Yitro came before the Torah was given, right? Ki nitchachem Hashem al zeh kodim matan Torah. Before Torah, he had this wisdom, right? That's the whole davar. That's something. Lomar, to show you, shahagam sheyesh bo mat yoter chachamim miYisrael. There are amongst the nations of the world smarter people, more smart people than the Jews. Afal pikein otanu hevi Hashem elavu bacharbanu. That notwithstanding, he brought us close. He gave the Torah to us. Ba'al zeh befrat aleinu l'shabeach la'asher bachar banu mitzad chasadav. And therefore, we have to praise God and thank Him for the fact that He chose us. Gam leman da'amar achar matan Torah. Even according to the opinion that Yitro came after the Torah was given, yesh tam, there's a reason. Bamesh sider biato kodem. There's a reason why Yisro's coming is placed in the Torah before the Torah was given. Right? Even according to the opinion that Yisro came after the Torah, but he still, the story of Yisro is placed before the giving of the Torah. Again, that's laharos hakavona haniskeret. That's to drive home this point. Shezulat zeh, ein hakavona haniskeret niglit. We wouldn't chap this. We wouldn't get this. If Yisro came after the Torah, we'd say, okay, good, he was there when the Torah was given. So he got this chochmah, he was influenced by Moshe, he converted, he came to be part of Klal Yisrael. We wouldn't have gotten it. This is something, right? This is something. This should humble us a little bit. You know, it's not what you think, right? So this is the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Now, just as an indication of I don't know, the genius, the chokhmah of Yisro. Maybe it's not the chokhmah of Yisro, but let me share something with you that's not in the sheets that shows something. In we have the Ten Commandments. So this is not on the sheet, so just try to concentrate for a second without the sheet. What's the second commandment? The second commandment is Lo Yielecha Elohim Acherim, right? Idol worship. Don't have any other gods. So what does Rashi say there? Rashi says, I want to show you the brilliance of Unkelus the Ger. Unkelus the convert, right? Sort of a continuum of this idea of the genius outside of the rank and file of biologically born Jews. So you have Unkelus and Ger, who translated the Torah, next to the Chumash, you know, the Hebrew Chumash, you have Unkelus, the Targum, Unkelus. So, and you have Rashi. So, how does Rashi translate Elohim Achirim? Should have no other gods besides me. So Rashi has a number of interpretations, but essentially he says like this. He says, Elohim Achirim, She'einan Elohus, they're not really God. Ela Achirim Asa'um Elohim Achirim. But Aleihem, that people made them gods. The stone, the rock, the statue. Not that there's God and there are other gods. But what I mean by Elohim Achirim is not that there are other gods besides God, but things that people made into gods. Because Rashi says, She'genaihu, it's an insult. Kalapi Ma'ala, Likrosim Elohus, that's to refer to them as gods. Right? Like there's God and there's other gods. So he makes a point, Rashi, that's not the pshat. Targum Unkelus doesn't, you know, doesn't seem to be bothered by that. He says, he translates, Lo yehelach ela aharon barmini. You know, there's no other gods besides me. So he does not bother with that. But if you go back in the Parsha, when Yisro comes, Yom Yisro Baruch Hashem Asher Hitzil Shem, he starts talking about how great God is, and he talks about the exodus from Egypt, and the splitting of the sea. You know, he talks about, you know, Hashem, Hitzil etchem miyad Mitzrayim, he saved you from Mitzrayim, miyad Paro, Asher Hitzil et ha'am mitachat yad Mitzrayim, ata yadati ki gadol Hashem. Now I know that God is great, mikol ha'elokim, from all other gods, Mikol Elohim, ki badavar asher zadu aleh. Now, how does he translate this phrase? That God is great from all other gods. So what does he say? He translates, no, v'leis elah bar minei. There is no other God besides him. So here he does the Rashi. Why does he do the Rashi here? Why didn't he do it there? Why is the Unkelus, the Targum Unkelus, doing the Rashi? Because he's saying like this. He's saying, brilliant. How does he know here that there's no other gods? He's saying like this. Rashi says in the Shiras Hayam that when the Egyptians were drowning, so it was mida keneged mida. He says measure for measure. What's mida keneged measure? I mean mida keneged mida, a measured response. So he said those that were really bad, they went down kemo evet. They went down like a stone. Those that weren't so bad, they went down like kash. They went down like straw. Others went down like oferet. Right? What does that mean? Why is there a measured response? When you go to war, when you take your army out to the enemy, there's no measured response. Kill them all off. You take the tanks, you take your weaponry, and you kill everybody. What's the pshat that Moshe, that Rabbeinu Shlomo, when he was killing the Egyptians, and they deserved to die, but it was a measured response. It was mida keneged mida. If they weren't so bad, they died this way. So he was head rachmanim. So Unkelus realized, Yisrael, the genius of Yisrael, this is really the genius of Yisrael. And it took Unkelus to bring it out. Unkelus the ger, the convert, to bring out the genius of Yisrael, the non-Jew. What was the genius? Yisrael realized that God is not just the God of the Jewish people. The Egyptians are also his children. He cares about the Egyptians too. It's not that the Egyptians have a God and the Jews have a God. But look how he killed the Egyptians. They're his children. So it was a measured response in the Egyptians. Not like he was going to just destroy them all, they're all evil. No, they were his children too. That's when he realized there is only one God. It was Dafke at this point that he realized what Rashi said later. You know, that it's insulting to speak of, well, he's a God and there are other gods. No, he's the only God. That was the genius of Yisrael. Yisrael realized that. He saw that in the way Kriyas Yamsuf was executed. Okay. The last piece is from the Maral as well. Two Marals today. And it's number 4. And it's based on a nuance in language, which is very important for us. At the end of the parsha, it says, V'im mizbach avanim ta'aseh li, if you make a mizbeach, an altar of stones, or I should translate it the way we translate it, when you make an altar of stones, lo tivneh sen gazis, ki charbecha hinafta aleh v'tachal aleha. You're not allowed to have metal in the Beis HaMikdash. Can't have metal because metal is a sword, metal is death, metal is killing, right? So Rashi says, the word im, what does the word im usually mean in Hebrew? Anybody. If, right? But he's not saying if. If is being used as when. The im mizbeach avanim, when you build a mizbeach of stone. So Rashi picks up on this right away. And he quotes Rabbi Yishmael, who says, kol im v'im b'torah reshut. Every im in the Torah is, like you say, if. If. V'im mizbach avanim ta'aseli hare'im ze mishamesh b'loshen ka'asher. But this im is not saying if, it's when. When. V'ka'asher ta'aseli mizbach avanim. When you make me an altar of stone, lo tivneh ten gazi. Don't make it out of metal. You are obligated to make this. This is not optional, whether you make an altar for me or not. You have to make an altar. When you make the altar, don't make it now. Shenemar, etc. Now, he says like this, V'chein, there are 3 times in the Torah where im does not mean if, im means when. V'chein im kesef talveh, when you lend money to somebody. The myth of lending money. It's not if. Im kesef talveh, if you lend money. You can decide you will, maybe you will, maybe you won't. Shenemar, v'havei tavidenu, there's a mitzvah, you're an obligation to lend money to a person who's less fortunate than us. V'av zeh mishamesh b'loshen kasher, it's also if. It's also when. V'chein, and the third one, im takriv minchat bikurim, which is talking about the mincha of the Omer, when we bring the sacrifice of the Omer. Sheicho, which is an obligation, to show our appreciation and our thanks to God for his bounty, it's also im takriv minchat
Bikurim, when you bring it.
Al korach ein ze ein im halal teluyin elavidakim v'de'en u'beloshin ka'asher hei mishtamshim. So there are three times, Rabbi Shmuel tells us, in the entire Torah, where the word im, which usually means if, really means when. So the Maral is now going to come along and explain to us why that is so. There has to be a reason for it. So let's see the Maral. Yesh lefaresh. Let's explain. Masha katav loshen im. Now this is tricky, by the way, on the sheet. You have to draw a line. I cut and pasted this. So the first, you see, there's a slight space after about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines. You got to draw a line there, because you're going to go from right to left, and then you go down, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines, and draw another line across, okay? Because we're going to go across there too. Okay, so let's start. Yishtavarish, Masha katav loshen im. Why do you say if? Afal gav dechoveh. It's really an obligation. Nay, let me just put it in my words first, so we'll get the gist of what he's going to say. When you do something for someone you love, in this case, for the Rabbanu Shel Olam, even though you do it because you have to do it, the goal is not to do it. Like Rabbi Yaakov said before at the beginning of the shir from Pirkei Avos, Al tiyu ka'avadim ha'misham shimet ha'rav al-manat l'kabel pras. Don't do it because you have to do it. Yes, you have to do it. It's a mitzvah. But do it as if you don't have to do it. That's the pshat. That's the general theme that he's going to say. And these three things are really a rubric for all of Avodas Hashem and all of Torah. And that's why these three things were chosen to highlight this notion. And he explains, if you do something, it's an obligatory act. I'm doing what the king asked me to do. God's not happy with that. Doing because you have to do it. You have to do it because you want to do it. When you do it from your own, then it's accepted from God. It's more meaningful. Now you go to the top. Something which is obligatory. I don't have to think. I'm like a zombie, right? That's why the Torah required, the Maral said, by accepting the Torah, the force majeure of the Torah, but it had to be preceded with the Ava, with the love. V'imo said, Elu shloshet dvorim, if you do these three things, kilu mekayem zeirat ha-melech, as if you're just following orders from the king, ein zed davar. It's not meaningful. Ki'im, for example, ki'im bonem is be'ach, if you build an altar, shuhu avodato yitbarach, la'krivalach, this is to serve God, to offer a sacrifice. V'hu mekayem, if I'm only doing it, I'm praying, right? Our tefillah is our sense of korban. If I'm davening only because I have to, you have to build an altar, you have to go to shul, you have to daven. Ein zeh, go to the right hand column, now the second one. Avodah, that's not avodah, that's not davening. If I daven because I have to daven, no. Ki ha'avodah tzarech she'a oved lo mirtzono. Davening has to be, avodah has to be that I'm doing it from, I want to do it. I want to serve God. Az nikra oved. Then the person is called an Evan Hashem, a servant of God. Aval imu muchrach, if it's forced on him, ein zeh oved. V'chein, second case, im hilve kesef ki'ilu mikayim zeh ha'melech. I'm lending money because the Torah says I have to lend money, so I lend you money, right? Ein zeh mitzvah, that's not the mitzvah. Ki tzark she'a mitzvat halva miritzono b'leiv tov. The loan has to come from your heart. It has to be something that is meaningful, that you want to give, that you understand that this money is not mine, it's mine to give to somebody else. Kedichtiv,